B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I called it a must-win situation last night because the Braves were playing the Yankees, and there was a chance to gain ground, but they didn't gain ground, and they're putting irregular players in the starting lineup every night, and Rhys Hoskins is back in tonight. But where do they stand right now? Well, the analytics say they have like a 16% chance to win a division, get in the playoffs. But let's flesh this all out with the man who has been covering baseball forever, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. He's brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks, good juices for good times. He writes entertaining stuff for The Athletic. His name is Jason Stark. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Mike.
Well, Jason, there's a big opportunity last night, and let's face it, the Tampa Bay Rays are a better team than the Phillies, and they proved it because they bring up a guy who can get a big hit for him late to win a game.
You talking about Nelson Cruz?
Yes, I am. Yeah, Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, but the stuff that they do is reflected in so many of the things that you saw last night. At the trading deadline, they were so unorthodox because they traded their shortstop, 2 months before the deadline, right?
A very good player, yes.
He's a great player.
Yes.
He was kind of the heartbeat of their team.
Mm-hmm.
They traded Rich Hill. They subtract from their mix, which teams don't do, but then they turn around and they add a guy like Nelson Cruz, and you see how he changes everything. And then, a couple other things that struck me last night. One is, how about the pitchers they run out there? Do you know, they went to the World Series last year. There wasn't a single pitcher who appeared in the game for them last night who pitched.
Oh, did we lose Jason? Oh, we lost him. Oh, man. All right, we'll try to get Jason back. He lost his line there, strangely enough. And I know he's talking about like a guy like Kittredge, who all of a sudden like he appears out of nowhere, and he's a shut down relief pitcher. And it's the difference between forward thinking and not letting your team get stale and letting a team get stale, which is what the Phillies are right now. And it's so evident what the Rays do to change up their whole landscape and still don't miss a beat. It is pretty amazing. So we'll get Jason back in a little bit. In the meantime, tonight, you're fighting Phils in game two. Now, again, the Braves are in a position where they can lose games. And the Phillies are in a position where they have to win to gain ground on those games. So tonight, your lineup, we already told you the lineup, and it's Ryan Yarbrough, who's not a great pitcher for the Rays, facing Zach Wheeler. So the Phillies should knock this game down, and we'll see if they do. They got Rhys Hoskins back in the lineup, and they should. They're favored. They're a -135. We have Jason back now with us. All right, Jason, you were rudely cut off by the powers that be. I don't know. I don't know how that happened, but you go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know where I lost your mic. But,
you were talking about the pitching staff, where the pitchers that they had played last night didn't have any bearing in the World Series.
Yeah, they had this incredible reservoir of guys who throw 98, right? I don't know how they do it. The Phillies can find nobody like that. They can find 50 guys like that. They're the best at that. And then the third thing is, when you think about that game, when it really came time to make a play, to decide a game like that, who makes it? It's not the Phillies incessantly don't make those plays.
Mm-hmm.
And teams like the Rays make them.
Like the one that Odubel Herrera doesn't make, which didn't matter anyway because they weren't going to hit their way out of it. But that gives them a two-run cushion there.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
All right. Now, yeah, Kittredge comes out of nowhere, and he was unhittable last night for them. Right? Yeah, where does he come from?
They love that guy. I mean, they just do an incredible job of identifying pitchers like that with different attributes that other teams don't value as much as they do. And, they can take a skill set and figure out exactly the way to maximize it and exactly the way to make that piece fit in their puzzle. It's something. It really is.
Yeah. Jason, listen, the chances are slim now. I mean, the three games they lost in Arizona were gutting for them, and it's really an uphill climb, and all the analytics say 16% chance, which is really nothing. And they squandered another chance last night. So in retrospect, what did they do here to shape this team for even next year by trying to win and win this division?
There's a lot there. First of all, let me just say this. You know, they still have this incredible easy schedule, you know? Mm-hmm. Like after today, their five series left at home are against the Diamondbacks, Rockies, Cubs, Orioles, and Pirates. Those teams on the road this year are 135 games under 500. Like, think of how many games they should win against those teams. But will they? They're such a hard team to trust. I can play the Mac game with you if you want, but I think you want to talk more about big picture. And like, here's a really important thing to remember. When I talked to Dave Dombrowski a couple days before the deadline, he was talking about all the reasons that it was worth investing in this team. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that he mentioned was that they have a number of players who hit good pitching. And at the time, he was right. They were hitting good pitching. You know, July 1st through the 8-game winning streak, they were a top 4 offensive team in baseball. And since then, they've been the worst offensive team in baseball. They've hit 187 as a team and scored 40 fewer runs than the Braves since then. And that's a little over 2 weeks. So just the inconsistency of a team that was built to hit has really done them in.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
You know, they're a much better team, obviously, with the Hoskins in the lineup. He's back in tonight, and they're trying to manage this whole thing. What is your opinion on going forward with this guy? He really must be hurt. If he, like Girardi said last night, if he used him late because he didn't want to use him early in case he had to use another player because he had a pinch run for him. So he must not be in great health.
Yeah, that's obvious. You know, he got to a certain point and plateaued, and so now they've got to manage it. One of the ways to manage it is not to push him and try to have him available for a big swing every night when you can't start him. But they need him. Like, it's so obvious. Since July 1st, they're 8 games over in the games he plays, and they're 3 games under in the games he doesn't play. And so, you know, like one of the things that I think – when you look at their team, lineups have to fit together, don't they? Like, the pieces have to fit. And the version of their offense that we saw in July and early August, the pieces fit. It was the best versions of McCutchen and Segura and JT that we've seen. Hoskins was really productive, and Bryce Harper fed off of that. And then you've seen what's happened since. Hoskins hasn't been healthy. McCutchen hasn't been healthy. Segura's kind of lost that smooth inside-out stroke that he had for a long time. It's like JT is wearing down. And then when that happens, I think you see Harper try to force the action more than he does when things are functioning well around him. And he sees fewer strikes because they don't have to throw strikes. He chases those balls out of the zone. He's trying to make something happen, and then he isn't as good. And then the whole thing just begins to mushroom. And I think that's what we've seen here these last 17 games. But like this has to stop. Like, this team is better than how it's played. I've said this all year long, that the record doesn't reflect the talent on the field. And they're running out of time for that to show up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with you on that. In fact, I think that next year, and one of the merits of selling was to not leave a fairly empty till, which I see going into next year. There's no flex to what they can do at this particular point. So what they've done, and Dombrowski, you know, is trying to change things around with the complete organization or overhaul. What was your reaction to that? And you know, when that something like that happens, it takes time to root that whole thing again. So where are they, and was it the right thing to do, and how long does it take to right the ship?
You know, Mike, what happened yesterday is the least surprising thing Dave Dombrowski has done since he got here. People in the organization had been bracing themselves for it for months. You know, Dave was never going to do anything too quickly, too rashly. He needed to see it first with his own eyes. But I thought back yesterday to the day that John Middleton fired Matt Klentak and started talking about how they hadn't developed talent for 100 years. That quote got a lot of attention. But there's another John Middleton quote, I think, from that day that people don't talk about, where he talked about how a few years ago, and you remember this, this is really about when Matt Klentak arrived, they were supposed to have one of the best systems in baseball, and then what happened? That was the question he asked. Mm. He didn't understand it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was development issues. And that's what Dave finally started to address yesterday. And believe me, I would be shocked if there's not more to come once the minor league season's over.
Yeah, but again, they're doing a completely new system. They announced that earlier, the way they're going with that Seattle organization. And now they're going to change that up everything, which means a different tact in selecting players. It takes a while for that to pay fruit, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Obviously, to draft and develop in baseball, it takes forever. There's no doubt. I think Bryant Barber has made great picks. He's really got a great reputation as a new scouting director in the industry. But the development issues, you can apply, if you put the right people in place, you can get players better in a hurry if the talent is in there. And you know, I talked to a lot of people from all over baseball about their system. And what they've seen the last few years is a lot of experimental type development techniques that have caused some talented players to get worse. It felt like everybody got worse.
Yeah.
You had all these data driven ideas coming from the top, and you had all the resistance to those ideas at the field level. Players were getting worse. So, who knows what the benefit is, even in the short term, of having more traditional instruction, more traditional development ideas as kind of the centerpiece of what they do, while incorporating the new age techniques, new age information, just not use them as the driving force in every decision. They've got to hope that happens.
There's
just been nobody to call up.
I got you. Last thing, the Alec Bohm thing. I don't think they handled this the right way. I thought they introduced doubt into the kid's mind that he couldn't play third base. They moved him to the first base. He has mental lapses. He acts like a child half the time. I understand that sometimes sending a guy to the minor leagues helps, but I don't think in this case it does. I think you had to let that kid play through and commit to the fact that he's a third baseman and try to make him better there. And instead, they don't, the kid probably doesn't know what he is now, and they don't know what he is.
Well, this has been a rough year in the life of Alec Bohm. I think you're implying something that a longtime general manager said to me maybe 2 weeks ago, that they should have sent that kid to the minor leagues months ago and let him straighten it out then and there. Because, as you said, what's happened is he's not sure now if he can play that position or any position. And I don't know how you get him from where he is now to where you need him to be, but there is a belief among people who have seen him, not just Phillies people, that he's going to figure it out offensively and he's going to hit. And maybe the best news is I would bet there's going to be a DH in the National League next year, so maybe you don't need him to play any position.
No, I guess. But then what do you do with Hoskins?
Well, this is an issue. You got two guys in the corners who really like who really don't belong with a glove.
It's a problem.
It is, but are you sure that they don't trade Rhys Hoskins this winter?
I'm not sure about that at all.
I think everything is in play.
Yeah,
really.
I agree. All right, Jace, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, great to talk to you, Mike.
Jason Stark, Comcast Business Hotline, brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Good juices for good times.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.